The Heidelberg Disputation, a Crucial Text for Christian Classical Schools, by Patrick Steckbeck. The Heidelberg Disputation is the heart of Reformation theology. That is the line a pastor said after I told him I believe that Martin Luther's Heidelberg Disputation is the often neglected gem of the Reformation. We make much ado about the nailing of the 95 Theses in 1517 and Luther's treatises in 1520. Teachers speak of Luther's theology, grace alone, faith alone, and all the rest. Yet we do so, often, outside of his own way of speaking and without a firm grasp on the context that gave rise to his concerns. The Heidelberg Disputation, so often overlooked by lovers of Reformation theology, is a key Reformation text which gets us into the spirit, the theology, and the context of Luther. Christian classical schools in the classical Protestant tradition should incorporate the Heidelberg Disputation into their rhetoric school theology curriculum in order to aid in the formation of the liberal art of rhetoric in our students, achieve information goals relative to the Reformation, and form our students into theologians of the cross, thus fulfilling part of our portrait of a graduate. In order to set the stage for these arguments, let us consider the disputation in brief. In Theses 1 through 6, Luther rejects the vain notion that any form of law, wherein human works are done to attain a right standing before God, only the works of God avail for salvation. In 13 through 16, he rejects the notion of free will as a basis for doing righteous human works that curry the favor of God, because free will, after the fall, exists only in name. In 17 through 18, Luther says that the purpose of this humbling under the law is to prepare one to receive Christ. The diagnosis of sickness comes before the cure of grace. After reading these theses, we are left saying with Paul, "By the work of the law, no one will be justified in his sight. For through the law comes knowledge of sin." Luther drives us to the realization that we cannot save ourselves. Through this message of condemnation driven into our hearts by the Spirit through the Word, the stony heart is made a fallow ground. The sinner, through death to self, now rests on the firm foundation of his absolute renunciation of any claims to self-righteousness, and is ready to receive the Savior. Luther then takes us to Christ, our righteousness. He is not righteous who does much, but he who, without work, believes much in Christ. The law says, "Do this, and it is never done." Grace says, "Believe in this, and it is already done." Luther leaves us basking in sweet and precious grace. The reader of the Disputation, whether a new or seasoned Christian, is caught up through his reading in the horror, the beauty, and the drama of God's two words, law and gospel. The law shows the sinner himself apart from Christ and drives him to repentance. The law brings the wrath of God, kills, reviles, accuses, judges, and condemns everything that is not in Christ. Yet after reading Luther, he is joyful at his freedom from the condemnation of the law, again rejoicing with Paul, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ my Lord." Though Luther here has restated in substance what Paul has stated in his epistles, the newfound drama of this disputation for first-time readers and 50 first-time readers, in concert with the rest of the disputation, taken in its historical context, has the potential to positively reach our students and serve us in Christian classical education in several ways. 1. Cruciform rhetoric. The Heidelberg Disputation is useful for forming the liberal art of rhetoric in our students. Most of these theses are jarring in both their content and form. Set against their medieval theological backdrop, they are doubly jarring. In its rhetorical fervor, the Disputation trains us in the art of humbled man speaking well, a true education in rhetoric. Our teaching style, when engaging in high-level theology, is often tired and obtuse. Luther is lively, paradoxical, and existentially relevant. Thus, we can use him to train our students to translate theological wisdom into an influential idiom in conformity with the broader goals of our rhetoric school's curriculum, a learned and cruciform piety. 2. Information goals. The Heidelberg Disputation is useful for achieving the information goals for our students in a heart-effective way. In the second, these theses are helpful in the theological curriculum of a school for reading information goals pertaining to the Reformation and Reformation theology. More than that, they not only teach Luther's significant theology, but they do so in an incarnational way. They reach our hearts. Thus, one is more likely not only to come away knowing Reformation theology, but also loving it and embodying it. whereas a theology teacher might stand in front of his students and say something to the effect of, "Luther argued that salvation is by grace alone through faith alone, not by works." The Heidelberg Disputation says much the same in substance, but in a way that is hard effective because of its rhetorical form. It is a formatory via, way, from an essential auctores, authority. Further, to thoroughly apprehend the disputation, one must know something of medieval theology, preferably a lot of somethings. Therefore, teaching the disputation is, at least, a three-for-one. Students learn Reformation history, Reformation theology, and Reformation rhetoric through an educationally effective text. 3. Portrait of a graduate. The Heidelberg Disputation is useful for forming student character into humble servants, theologians of the cross in conformity with the portrait of a graduate. The Heidelberg Disputation teaches us about the methods, postures of two radically different kinds of theologians. The theologian of glory finds God where one expects to find him, in creation, in the wisdom of great authors, and all the rest. Though this wisdom is good in and of itself, the problem with the theologian of glory is that this wisdom tends to puff one up in pride and thus condemns him. The theologian of the cross is the opposite. The theologian of the cross understands that God reveals himself most significantly to us in this life under his opposites, sub species contrario. Whereas the theologian of glory expects to find God in victory, strength, and worldly success, the theologian of the cross understands that God reveals himself most significantly to us in this life in suffering, death, and weakness. The theologian of the cross does not reject the wisdom of God revealed in creation and in providence, and in turn the classical canon outside scripture, but he engages that wisdom as a theologian of the cross. What this means for us, practically, is that through the Heidelberg Disputation, we are better equipped to form our students into those who engage the classical canon with cruciform humility, a humbled and crucified piety. Through faith in the risen Lord Jesus, we engage the classical canon as a gift from God, with the view towards harnessing its wisdom in the service of our neighbor in love. We are free from co-opting these works into a quest to build our own kingdoms. We are free to use these texts in service to our neighbor in cruciform love. This in turn fulfills our goal of forming servant graduates. Parents, teachers, and the like are afraid that we raise the next generation of Pharisees because of our emphasis on the excellence at every level of Christian classical education. But how can we raise the next generation of Pharisees if we, the administrators, the teachers, and our students have died in heart to any vain notion that our works, will, and wisdom can save us? The answer to the problem of our temptation to become theologians of glory is not any lessening of the demands of excellence in Christian classical schools, nor is it failing to engage with the great works of the classical canon. Rather, it is to engage the canon from the perspective of a theologian of the cross, emptied of self. Righteousness, receiving Christ through faith, and serving our neighbor in love. Good teachers are ultimately interested in the flourishing of students. An essential quality of our portrait of a graduate is that they are empty of self, finding their all in God through faith and serving their neighbor in love. We can move our schools in the direction of achieving this end by adding the Heidelberg Disputation to our rhetoric curriculum, studying it thoroughly and trusting God to drive its wisdom and posture into our hearts as we serve our neighbor in love.